I have a special guest with me in the studio, a first timer. Joshua Bailey is here. Thank you, Josh, so much for being with us.
You're welcome. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, it's really fun to have you. And many of you know the radio has an interest in the natural world, to put it mildly. And so when we heard about a new birder coming to town, then it was really fun to imagine. And now here you are, not only doing your own birding, but offering your skills and interests to the rest of us. So you want to just start by telling us a little bit about how you got interested in birding or birds?
Well, I suppose it started in college. You know, you just kind of go out, and once you start listening and recognizing, most people can walk out of their house and hear no less than a half a dozen birds on a nice summer morning. And that kind of got me interested, and I was able to get a job through UMD, actually, I guess you would call it professionally birding.
Really?
Yeah, we did bird surveys. It was a 30-year and running study on breeding birds in some different national forests. So really had to know the songs, know the identification incredibly well. And ever since then, I've just been birding. You know, you can't turn it off. You're outside, your ears are going, your eyes, you can't miss them.
And did you learn by, like, listening to discs, or did you just get out there and learn by experience out in the woods?
It's a real combination. It started basically studying. I had a lot of different resources. And when you're birding in summer and, you know, when the trees are full of leaves and foliage, you need to learn the songs because you don't always have the opportunity to see what you're looking for or see what you're hearing.
Yeah.
So I spent a lot of time writing down mnemonics, all the little funny phrases so you can memorize the bird songs.
Interesting.
So, you know, you learn that, you learn your visual cues, and then, of course, there's no substitute for experience.
Yes.
So the book learning comes, and then you just got to get out there and learn. And as soon as you think you know a bird song and everything about it, they'll throw you a curveball and sing a different song or mimic a different bird. Blue jays are notorious for that.
Really?
Yeah, everyone thinks a blue jay is a blue jay, but they can mimic hawks really well, blackbirds, a number of different birds. So as soon as you think you got it all figured out, they'll throw you a curveball.
Fascinating. And now or would you say it's equal, like visual and audio? Like, is it mostly hearing first, or is it mostly seeing first, or both?
For me personally, I kind of unfocus, even close my eyes, and just kind of listen. And then, you know, you can triangulate pretty well with your ears, and you start looking around, and you can usually track them down. Whether or not you can actually see them depends on their willingness to, you know, to be in line of sight. But it's mostly hearing. Like, if you don't know a lot of bird songs, going out into the forest to bird is kind of an exercise in frustration.
Right.
Until you can learn a handful of them. And then, of course, there's a million cues, like habitat and where they're at. Are they in the treetop or on the ground? Quality of song. You know, you can really nerd out once you get past the basics.
Right.
There's no end to the rabbit hole.
I'd also imagine it's very, I mean, everyone's always talking about mental health these days, and what could be better for mental health than just to get out and just put your ear to the ground, as it were, ear to the air, to really, and you're offering an opportunity. So if I, as a listener, you know, who thinks, well, it's mostly just a black dot in the sky to me, but I would like it to be more than that, you are offering a really neat opportunity for people to learn easily and quickly from you. Tell us about your bird walks.
Yeah, I moved. My family and I lived in Duluth. We moved about halfway. We live out by French River. I have a wood shop, furniture and cabinets I make here in town. And I thought, well, it's time to start to do some birding again. I used to be involved with the Duluth Audubon Society, and that we would do they're called warbler walks, and they still happen every Tuesday and Thursday in Duluth. So you can check that out if you want. But I just kind of wanted to start a little bit of a community up here, do what I'm going to do anyways.
Right.
And bring some people along. I love birding. I love to teach people. I love to share, you know, all of my knowledge with birding. So I just, you know, I thought it was a really good idea.
Well, I think it is a really good idea. Tell us where and when you'll meet, how to prepare.
Sure. It's we're going to do it every Tuesday mornings, at least through May, maybe into June. We'll kind of play it by ear, depending on weather and how birds are moving along. And so Tuesday mornings, we're going to meet at the Burlington Bay, the beach parking lot at 7:30. No experience required. All ages are welcome. We will be doing most of it down the paved path, so all abilities are welcome. There shouldn't be any challenges if you're mobility challenged.
Yep.
And, you know, bring some binoculars if they have them, but they're not necessary. I'll have binoculars and a telescope along. We can look out on the water and see what we can see in all the trees along the path.
Great. And so you will just be walking along the lake there, I'm guessing.
Yeah, it's a great path through the park there and down around the water treatment plant and to the harbor and the lighthouse.
Okay.
I did it Tuesday morning. You know, within an hour, we could make it there and back, you know, but I've been out for many hours before and late for work, because when the birds are heavy, it's really hard to walk away when you're seeing one species after another and the warblers are all showing up and their songs and colors. It's really hard to walk away from that and go to work when it's
right.
Such a beautiful experience.
Well, anyone who's had their windows open in the last month, as we have, knows it is one of the most significant things heralding spring is when you start to hear the birds pre-dawn, and you know that means that it's going to get light, and then it gets light earlier and earlier. It's really just such an upper.
Yeah, those robins, as loud as they can be and maybe wake you up earlier than you want, it's hard to be too annoyed.
Yes. Do you have any stories? I'm speaking with Joshua Bailey, a bird, local birder, and also wood and cabinet maker. Do you have any stories that are memorable? Anything you've witnessed as a birder?
Yeah, when I was doing the bird surveys through UMD, they were pretty arduous, and all the survey points were already laid out because it was a long running study.
Mm-hmm.
So some days you'd park on the side of the road, and we'd have a 45-minute hike in before we could even get to our first counting point. So there was a lot of neat encounters there.
Yeah.
And the professor who ran the study, you know, there's a couple of kind of specific birds that he said, if you think you have one, you better double check and you better come back with the most evidence possible.
Oh.
And it was early in the season.
Yeah.
And I found one of those birds. If I'm not mistaken, it was a Philadelphia vireo.
Huh.
Not a particularly remarkable bird, pretty similar to its cousins. There's two other vireos that you'll see regularly. And it was just off in the distance. And there was a quality of the song that I could tell was different. So I don't know. I don't remember how long I spent, but that professor's words echoed through my head. You better be sure before you report it.
Yeah.
So I stood there and I looked and I got my binoculars on it and I confirmed. So, I mean, it was kind of fun, a little bit exciting to see that bird that even the professor kind of looks forward to.
I would say that's like a quiet thrill, isn't it?
Well, yeah. I mean, I could have been as loud as I want because I don't think any person would have been around for miles. But, yeah, you just kind of take it in. You kind of just drink in the whole experience in that forest. And maybe it's just kind of the way my brain works, but I can kind of close my eyes and bring myself back to that moment in that forest with that kind of tree cover and everything. So very memorable experiences. It seems just like a passing moment, just another bird.
Yeah.
But you never know when one of those experiences is just going to kind of stick with you.
Yeah. And that's why being out there is so special. So Tuesday mornings at 7:30, Burlington Bay. Be there. And now I just want to ask you one more thing, Joshua. You must be aware of we have talked on this station before about cats and domestic cats and the importance of keeping them inside and the sort of new awareness of the number one killer of bird species in our country is actually cats. Do you have any comments about that? Or I know that, you know, there's a lot of cat owners that really don't like to rein in their feline pets.
Right. And you're 100% right. It's most people would really be shocked. And I didn't come prepared with a statistic, but domestic and feral cats left outside, they kill millions, many millions of birds every year. It's very substantial. And I mean, yeah, folks should keep their cats inside. Domestic house cats are a long, long way from their wild relatives. Right. They don't need to be outside. Inside is the best place. It's where they're the safest. Indoor cats live at least 40% longer than cats left outside. There's diseases, there's predators, there's territorial fights with other cats. You know, for the sake of your cat and for the sake of the birds, it's best just to keep them inside. Or at the most, you know, take them out in your yard on a leash. We've got a cat, he comes out in the yard on the leash when we have some time, and he soaks it all in, but otherwise he's just happy as can be sitting in the windowsill, inside taking it all in. So, yeah, thanks for bringing that up. It's a major thing. And with all the other sort of challenges birds face with climate change and you know, bird flu, what that's going to evolve into in coming years.
Right, I was going to ask you about that. Yeah, that's going to be a big deal.
You know, we need to do as much as we possibly can to keep this bird population healthy.
All right. Once again, I'm speaking with Joshua Bailey about birding and birds in general. And we are out of time, Joshua, but thank you so much for being with me this morning, and I hope we can have you again.
Well, thanks for having me. It's been fun.
All right. That was Joshua Bailey.